Welcome to Sex Chat for Christian Wives.
We're four marriage and sex bloggers.
Discuss the naked truth.
What does God really want for the sexual intimacy in our marriage?
I'm Jay Parker of Hot, Holy, and Humorous.
I'm Chris Taylor from The Forgiven Wife.
I'm Gay Christmas of Calm, Healthy, Sexy.
I'm Bonnie Burns of Oyster Bed 7.
It's been a while since any of us ladies were pregnant, but we remember, or sort of remember. But today
we remember.
Today we're tackling an important issue for many of y'all out there, sex when you are pregnant. Because when you're carrying a child, your body changes in so many ways, and those changes impact sexual intimacy. So ladies, let's start with how pregnancy can affect sexual interest. What changes might a pregnant wife face with her libido?
Well, I think it depends on which trimester. The first trimester, you're sick and your breast really hurt. At least mine did. I know those are two really common symptoms of pregnancy.
You're so tired.
And tired.
My breast didn't hurt. I would have had to have breasts for them to hurt.
Oh, mine were killing me.
Yeah, mine were. Yeah.
And then your second trimester... you've got increased blood flow due to the baby and all that. And so that's actually good for your genitals and might increase your sexual interest. But then third trimester, you're back a huge whale. Uncomfortable.
Huge whale. Well, you know, your body, I remember my body just felt so unfamiliar. I had such a hard time figuring out how to make my body work sexually anyway. And then just when I think, oh, I think I know what feels good, boom, there's a different body right there.
There's another person in there.
Yeah. And then once the baby started moving and I was like, oh, that feels good. And oh, my child is inside me making weird sensations. That's just not, that was a downer for sex. That was weird.
Okay. Did you have anything to add?
No, I think I was basically on that schedule that Bonnie outlined, you know, feel terrible during the first trimester, no interest, feel pretty good, energetic, good hormones the second semester. And then when you start to blimp out, it becomes a little more challenging.
I remember it was kind of like at the beginning, I did have the sickness and I felt queasy all the time. And so you just don't feel like having sex when you feel queasy, or at least I didn't. But then that middle one, oh my goodness, I was on overdrive. I was really ready to go. And then the third trimester, I was still happy with sex. It wasn't as much of an interest, but I was still happy with it. I never really reached that point of feeling like this is just so uncomfortable. I feel like a whale or anything. I remember being 39 weeks and saying to somebody, I could go a couple more weeks.
I did. I went to 42.
Wow. You win.
Just with the first one. More. With the first one. The second one, I didn't. Pregnancy.
Yeah. But of course, that was my first pregnancy. My second one was quite different, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But those are the typical changes. But it's possible that sometimes a wife who doesn't have a lot of interest before suddenly has some, or someone who had been high interest, it lowers during some one of the trimesters. And that's
hormones just do weird things.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah.
Every woman's different.
Yeah. But how does pregnancy influence the actual act of sex, like arousal and orgasm positions?
Well, okay,
one of the things I remember from the second trimester was that as the uterus got bigger and there was more place for all the blood vessels, you know, the blood vessels took up more space, the orgasm felt amazing. Those were the best orgasms ever were during that second trimester for me. So that was a good thing.
Yeah, I was going to share that it did feel much different. I don't think it was the best, but I could feel the sensation over the entire beach ball, which was, you know, it's just expanded. Your uterus has expanded, and so those contractions are over a bigger square footage.
That's true.
So there's more area of pleasure, and yeah, the orgasms felt different.
So I think it affects positions, you know, mainly as you get closer to the end, as you get larger. You know, I remember having to kind of experiment with different positions where you hadn't really used before because, you know, at some point the baby and your stomach just really get in the way of the kind of the typical positions. So, I mean, that can be a plus because you're trying out different things. You see, how can you make it still fun for both of you? You know, how can you do something different? So I think you do have to be willing to experiment a little and try new things.
Yeah, I remember even during the first trimester when I hadn't gotten much bigger, my nausea just made me not want anything pressing against my stomach. So we actually found that the first trimester we needed to use some of those different positions too because it helped with the queasiness.
Certainly.
And just to back up the whole conversation, it's okay to have sex while you're pregnant. You're not going to hurt the baby. I mean, I know that seems really basic, but it's good to say it. The baby's not going to be hurt unless, you know, there are some medical conditions. And sometimes later in the pregnancy, if you're having preterm contractions and that kind of thing, it's not good. But generally, it's okay to have sex while you're pregnant.
And if your doctor doesn't tell you don't have sex, enjoy.
Yeah. And right. In fact, I have, I know a couple people who had sex the day their baby was born as a way to get labor started. Because that's one of the theories is that having sex and specifically having an orgasm can kind of maybe bring on some of the contractions when you're
get it started
already ready to go. Yeah, and I found the positions had to kind of work around that and do, you know, some from behind or some where you're more, maybe you're just not right up close. He's kind of maybe kneeling and you're lying down or something like that. So you're just kind of just making room for your tummy. But you can still make eye contact. You can still have all the sensations. You can still touch places. And also, as far as arousal, too, there are times during the pregnancy when your breasts can be additionally sensitive and they may be even more of an erogenous zone for you.
Or less of one.
Or too much of one.
That's true. It can go, you know, this is the thing is hormones can do all these crazy things and women do experience this differently.
Just part of the fun of being a woman.
Yeah, just when you think you get it figured out. But what advice do you have for keeping sexual intimacy thriving during a pregnancy? Because we do have all these challenges and different things happening with your body, but we don't want to have like sex. You don't want sex to die for 8 or 9 months. So just for the regular healthy situation, what can they do?
I would say it's a really good time to practice and get better at oral sex and using your hands on each other. Sometimes the best positions are not ones that really are good for intercourse, but, you know, holding each other and using your hands or mouth on each other, this is a good time to explore that. So maybe just expand your sense of your ideas of what counts as sex.
I'm waiting for Bonnie to say sex scheduling.
Oh. I was waiting for her to say be a sex ninja.
I was thinking cowgirl. I mean, if you're on top, your tummy's not in the way as much.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. I don't know. I felt so, my moods and my physical body felt so different from day to day. Scheduling, it does need to be on your radar, but you might, you know, having that really specific schedule might not work so well.
I think that's true. I think it's kind of a strike while the iron's hot kind of thing, especially in that first trimester. There was so much of the time I was feeling queasy that if there was a window where I'm like, I actually feel pretty good, let's go now. You've got like an hour window.
And don't push on my stomach.
Yes.
Yeah, I think it's part of it is just having kind of the mindset that this is still important, even if it's going to look different for the next how many months. It's still important that we maintain this connection. And so how can we, kind of having that as the starting point, how can we continue to keep intimacy alive in our marriage, even if things are challenging.
I think it's also kind of nice when you can view this as, for those who do use contraception, this is a time where you're like, hey, we don't have to worry about this. And so I remember there being some freedom in just, you know, doing that and not having to grab whatever and take care of that. So, so that was kind of nice. There was a little spontaneity there. And I also want to say one of the other things is a lot of women, I think they struggle with, I'm big, and they'll think, oh, I'm really big. And you know, I don't look as good to him as I used to. And I, that is just not at all the way I hear it from husbands. They
what I hear is they love their wives' pregnant bodies.
Yes. Yes.
You're having that you're having my baby. What a wonderful way to say you love me. Is there some country song with that line?
That's Paul. It's yeah. Paul Anka. Baby. It's Paul Anka who recorded that.
Paul Anka? Oh,
Paul
okay.
Anka. Yeah.
And you know, one thing though that is, there are some men who struggle with seeing their wives as mom, and some men are very concerned about hurting their babies, and sometimes it's very difficult for him to want to, you know, he'll want to have sex, but he's maybe got some concerns about that. So if you do have a husband who's concerned about hurting the baby or about whether it's really okay to have sex, have him go to the doctor with you and let the doctor explain that it's okay.
Mm-hmm. That's a good idea. Mm-hmm. Very good idea. Speaking of the doctor thing, well, what if sexual intercourse isn't possible at some point? What can a couple do then? And I know some of us have some stories on that count.
Yeah, I do. I was on bed rest for 3.5 months when I was pregnant with the twins, and it was total pelvic rest, so I couldn't do, there could be nothing that triggered orgasm or even arousal. So, you know, a lot of times we would say, we might suggest, well, if you can't have sex, you can at least do oral sex or give your husband a hand job. I couldn't even do those things because they turned me on. And so for us, that was a really difficult time. And so, you know, we basically agreed that my husband could take care of physical needs on his own when I, away from me. Because if I heard anything or saw anything, I would end up in the hospital again. So that was really difficult. But I was
challenging.
Oh, yes, it was.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we survived. You know, 3.5 months at the time was, you know, forever, but now it's, you know, so long ago. But I was in preterm labor at 20 weeks and was a centimeter dilated halfway into the pregnancy. So that was necessary to keep my babies alive.
I also the same thing. Well, not the same thing, but I had placenta previa, which is when my placenta was completely underneath my child. And so we didn't want to disturb that. I'd actually hemorrhaged a little bit. So it was 11 weeks that I was on total pelvic rest while pregnant. And then, of course, there's your recovery time after. I think I figured this out. It was
right.
For 4.5 months, we did not have sex. And it was the same thing when I was pregnant, is not even arousal. We didn't want to trigger any kind of spasming or arousal could potentially put the placenta at risk, and we needed it to stay intact as long as possible. And so that just didn't happen. And I, you know, I know people say, oh my gosh, how did you go so long without? And I, you know, it really is this thing of, look, it's, I love having an orgasm, love it, but not compared to the life of my child. I think that we kind of had stored up a lot of that, and we knew that we would get back to it. So we connected. I think it was important for us during that time to connect in so many other ways, to connect in conversation and just non-sexual affection.
I, you know, and I have to say, my husband was so good at taking care of things. I mean, we had to send my 2-year-old to live with my in-laws for part of that time. I mean, it was such a difficult time. But my husband came home every day for lunch and made me lunch. Mm. He took care of everything around the house, and he did so much that really spoke to my emotional needs, that by the time we were, you know, the babies were born and I was allowed to have sex, I really, really wanted to. I mean, my emotional love tank was totally overflowing because he had done such a good job of taking care of me during that time. So it actually did pay off in a way. Bonnie, you were on bed rest too, weren't you?
I was. I had very, very, very similar, almost identical to you, Chris, with the twins. But I just didn't have a sexual interest at all with either pregnancies. So, and to be honest, some of our marriage problems started really early on. I wouldn't have been able to identify them at that time, but looking back, I can see there were patterns that were happening. But so yeah, I had a similar, but I just didn't have the interest that you guys had.
did you think about, I mean, I have to say that there were a few times when I thought, I'm so glad I'm off the hook and don't have to have sex. And that's not something I'm proud of, but there were some times like that.
I don't know if I thought of it in those terms. I just, not being off the hook, I just wasn't interested. And he didn't talk about it either. So this would be a point where we were not communicating well. I did not know it was important to him because he wasn't telling me. So I didn't put it on my radar because he didn't tell me.
Well, that's a downer.
I know. Sorry. I'm so sorry.
But, you know, everything, you know, emotionally, but everything felt so different during pregnancy, too.
You know what? That was a season of our life, and I praise God. That was phase one of our marriage, and, you know, maybe all of those, the disconnection that we had, everything had to happen so that we could finally hit rock bottom and figure out how to have a really thriving marriage. And I don't think we would have figured it out without having hit the rock bottom. So anyways,
okay, but we don't want to encourage people to hit rock bottom, do we?
Hey, if it takes rock bottom, I mean, you know, sometimes
just get it over with fast.
Yeah, if it takes hitting rock bottom to actually put the effort in, you know, the pain of staying the same has to be greater than the pain of change, or change won't happen.
That's
so
true.
I think communication can be very important in this situation. If you have restrictions on your sexual, whether it's just intercourse or total pelvic rest, I think it's important to communicate like how you actually feel about that. And if he's going to really struggle with not having any release for a long time, you know, it's give him an option like Chris did for her husband, so that you guys can just move on and reconnect.
So what if intercourse isn't possible for a while, medically or just physically or whatever, but the woman is not on the complete pelvic rest. So it wouldn't be dangerous for her, you know, if she was a little bit stimulated or whatever. So would you recommend, like for a period of time? I mean, I know we often say, you know, sex is for women too, but would we recommend, like, give him, you know, a hand job with some regularity, or do something for him with some regularity, even though you can't have intercourse for a period of time?
I would do that for my husband.
Yeah, I think that would be a loving thing to do. If it continues like that after the pregnancy's over, and there's a sense that it's always for him and never for her, then it's a problem.
Right.
But
yeah.
during a particular time, you know, when there's a short season in your life, sometimes you do have to make it kind of one-sided. But doing that and being loving about that for your husband can actually strengthen the intimacy, your emotional intimacy.
Mm-hmm. I think it also depends on kind of how it's done. Like if he becomes demanding about, you owe me this every 48 hours or whatever, then that's, well, there's more problems than pregnancy and sex.
Yeah.
But the point is that, yeah, I think it's something that you can offer and do for him as a generous, loving gesture, not as a duty-driven, have to take care of his needs kind of thing.
Even it's Wednesday, that must make it hand job night or something, you know.
That's right.
Hand job Wednesday, that's a new thing now?
Yeah. Sure.
Does Sex Ninja have nothing to say about that?
No.
You're not very ninja-like on this topic.
Ninja-like, no. Sex just did not. I mean, unfortunately, we did have sex while I was pregnant, but it wasn't very frequent. Poor guy, but he wasn't talking to me either. So anyways, I'm not very helpful here from personal experience. However, what I will tell you that to learn from me is that it is very important. And if your husband's not talking to you about it, you might want to listen to our other podcast where we talk about how to approach your husband and talk about sex if he won't. Because even if you are low drive, you need to talk about it.
I feel like we did this pretty well. I mean, there was the time that we couldn't, but otherwise in my pregnancies, besides the time that I had morning sickness, other than that, we continued to make love with a pretty good frequency and intimacy. So,
For some,
but you are Jay, and that doesn't really surprise me.
No, but it was after the kids were born that everything tanked. So if we ever do sex after you have the kids episode, that's
yeah, I think we will. But so many people, have experienced pregnancies fairly early in their marriage. And so I remember, we'd been married 3 months when we got pregnant with our first child. And
wow.
So we were still trying to figure out how to be husband and wife. And then this other wrench got thrown in and it was hard.
Did you know how those things were made?
Well, babe. Yeah, and we know where our first child was conceived on the hotel room floor in a room we were sharing with his parents, but his parents weren't in the room at the time.
Well, thank you for that last tidbit.
Yeah.
Because that would have really worried
me. Oh, my gosh. The twins were also conceived on the floor.
Wow.
Oh, there you go.
That's weird.
Well, when they were conceived?
Yeah, because... there were three times I didn't use birth control. I had a very early miscarriage in between. Oh. But yeah, the times I didn't use birth control, I got pregnant.
Wow.
We were only married 3 months when we got pregnant too. Wow. Chris and I share a lot.
That's weird.
It's weird how our lives
How long were you married, Gay?
Oh, yeah. Like, how long was I married? Over 2 years, I think.
Wow, I beat you all.
My mother always said, have fun before you have kids. That was one of my mother's classic pieces of advice. So.
There you go. Good advice. It's true.
We were doing graduate school, so it was 4 years before.
Well, our plan was to get through school. We didn't quite. We got Dave through. We were a biology major and a pharmacy major, so we should have known how reproduction happens. But
wow.
Okay, I'm going to get to our last question.
Yes.
Does the Bible have anything to say about sex and pregnancy?
Well,
Do it often?
Yeah. Oh. That's Song of Solomon.
Where's the multiply? Go forth and...
Yeah, well, there's Psalm 127:3 says children are a heritage from the Lord. But 1 Corinthians 7:5, talks about do not deny each other unless it's for a time. So, if there's a time at the end of your pregnancy when you can't, there you go.
Yeah.
One of the things, it's not really a fun thing. I don't know if we want to cut this later. I don't want to upset any listeners. Sometimes pregnancy brings moments of grief. Sometimes there's, the pregnancy doesn't stay. Sometimes you get difficult news about your child when you're pregnant. Mm-hmm. And I think so much about David going into Bathsheba and comforting her after they've lost a child. That there are some, pregnancy can bring some very challenging experiences as well as some wonderful celebratory things. And sex can be a really good way to comfort and also to share in a celebration in a way that you can't with anybody else.
I agree. And I had a miscarriage in between my two sons. And I've talked to other women who've experienced this kind of thing or experienced later problems, including a stillbirth and those kinds of things. And some of them say it's hard to get back into sexual intimacy after that because there's this... there's this grief hanging over you, and there's also worry that you won't be able to conceive again, or worry that if you do, will something similar happen or all of that. So I think that that's worth just mentioning, that those are reasonable emotions, but you can work through those and find comfort in one another.
Mm-hmm. I had a miscarriage between my two sons also.
Oh, wow.
I think most women probably do at some time. I had one that was very, very early, so early that it didn't even show up on a pregnancy test yet, but we knew. Mm-hmm. It's very common.
Yeah. All right. Well, I guess we just need to kind of wrap this up. And for any ladies who are pregnant out there, we want to wish you a really healthy, good pregnancy. And we're praying for the safe delivery of your child. And we also hope that you have great sexual intimacy with your husbands.
Thanks so much for joining us today on Sex Chat for Christian Wives. We encourage you to check out our website at sexchatforchristianwives.com, where you can find show notes and links to resources. That's sexchatforchristianwives.com. Also, if you enjoy our podcast, please take just a few minutes to leave a review on iTunes so that others can find the show. And tell a friend about us. Word of mouth is one of the best ways to reach out to new listeners. We appreciate you being with us today, and we pray that God blesses you this week as you pursue healthy and holy sexual intimacy in your marriage.